If your restaurant wants to put the best on the table, look for food with a New York State certified seal. It's food that is grown right, right here. Learn more at certified.ny.gov.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Good morning and welcome to the main course on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I am Alexis McLaughlin, here as always with...
What happened?
Philip Gilmore.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Tito Cabrera.
Hey, good morning.
What's up? What's up, Mr. Tito?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
And we have Hawaii Mike in the studio, who is pulling things out of his bag. What is going on?
How you doing?
He's making... I think he brought his own recipe for hot toddies.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. Our version of a hot toddy.
High toddies.
High toddies. Yeah.
Hot potties.
I got to be careful with that because we already have higher in the name. And if I keep using higher.
Yeah.
Too much pun.
Hot potties. No.
Hot potties. Well, yeah, that sounds scary.
Yeah, that sounds naughty. Sounds dirty.
What if it was like a hot pot restaurant?
Yeah, hot pot.
Hot potties would be a great one for a hot pot.
I would go to that. Thank you. I'll be here for the remainder of the show.
Oh, is that you're using honey?
Yes, sir.
Special honey?
This is Hawaii's habanero honey.
Oh, nice.
Actually, I don't know if there's habaneros in this one. I think I missed the season.
Nice.
But it's pepper? Can I try a little?
There's no pepper in this one. It's a linden honey mixed with some sour diesel shatter.
Oh, Jesus.
How many milligrams is like a drop?
A drop is, it's really light. It's about 10 milligrams per teaspoon.
Oh, okay, cool.
Right? So it's not like a drop.
Like that's like a half a milligram.
Yeah, a drop's not gonna.
It tastes like honey.
It tastes like honey on weed.
Olive oil. It's all
kinds of stuff. So cooking and weed ingredients. I have some very distinct opinions on this, but I kind of want to hear
from
how
personal
you,
experience.
From personal experience, but I kind of want to hear you got, like, I don't know.
I like those people that have kind of, you know, interesting personal experiences. So part of our process is responsible consumption through proper dosing.
Okay.
Like, so when we do our dinners. But that doesn't mean low dose.
Why don't you, okay, can we go back, take a few steps back and talk about the dinners to start?
Yep.
Because that's kind of like a new concept that's been happening more in like the last few years.
Yep.
I like the responsible dosing thing because my experience is, you know, 15 milligrams good, 200 bad.
Depends on when, how, timing.
Yeah.
What are the vehicles of ingestion? There's a ton of different things, right?
Yeah.
So we could talk about all of these things.
Okay. Like,
so let's start. Let's set the table.
Yeah,
I guess pun intended. Sorry.
just for people that are not very intelligent or maybe a little bit slow or hungover,
unexperienced with cannabis.
We're talking about cooking with cannabis, the plant, God's own creation.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks, David.
Not the demonized, villainized drug.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yes. God created it. Shame on him if you want to shame anybody. Yes. So, let's backtrack. Where are you actually from, Hawaii?
No, I'm from San Francisco, born there. My mother...
What part of San Fran?
Diamond Heights,
yep.
Glen Park area.
Yep. Awesome.
So my mom took me to Hawaii, which I found out a couple years ago was because she was working with growers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we lived in a van and did a bunch of island hopping and why I went to like 15 different schools on every island.
Sounds horrible.
There's not even that many schools, but yeah, I went to 15.
Wow.
We did a bunch of island hopping. Then I moved back with my father.
Mm-hmm. And what year was this?
For middle school, so sixth grade.
Yeah, sixth grade. Yeah.
Way back in 82.
82. Wow. Right, we're the same age. Are you 72?
Three.
73.
73.
Yeah, nice.
And it was just Philip's birthday, too.
Yeah. I'm 45. I'm a 45-year-old man. Yeah. My life's a third of the way over.
You're Michael
Jordan's
second career. You don't
look a day over 26.
yes, it's a lie, but I don't look a day over 96.
It's a spring chicken. Yeah. And
yeah, so, okay, cool. So you're in Hawaii.
Yeah. No, I moved back to San Francisco, did high school out there.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to go to college because my father's an immigrant, never paid taxes. And
where's your father from?
Philippines. Mm-hmm. So my father's from the Philippines, my mother's from Brazil.
Yeah.
So, nice. Little eclectic kind of mix.
Yeah.
But they met through music.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, and then I moved in out here because I was sneaking into a convention selling weed in San Francisco, and I was offered an internship out here.
Nice.
Because I was so good at my marketing skills.
Nice. And then, so you're skipping forward. You're modern. You have Chef for Hire?
Yes.
And Dinner is Dope. And those are two separate things?
So about 3 years ago, I met a young lady from Seattle. We tried to work together, just didn't kind of work out. Mm-hmm. And I kind of continued on it because I got so interested in the world of edibles. Not just edibles, but infusing cannabis into food.
Yeah, fine food.
Fine food. Yeah, not your novelty, you know, candies and all that other stuff mimicking, you know, what you
space cake and brownies.
None of that. More sophisticated approach because I'm a smoker. I've smoked since I was 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And it's a normal thing for me. Just like you were saying before in the beginning, right? Mm. The plant's been here for thousands of years.
Yeah.
It's not a drug. It's how you harvest it that changes it and how you utilize it that changes it into drug use. It's medicinal. It's wellness. It's all types of things, right? So for us, it was, I love eating. Food is my favorite thing. I'm a glutton. I'm a 350-pound man waiting to break out. I'm knock on wood, it doesn't happen. And so I would be at restaurants, say like here, like, why can't this pizza be infused?
Yeah.
And then my mind would start going, well, all right, it adheres to fats. There's all kinds of fats. There's cheese, there's milk, there's all these things. Why can't we start putting it in there? Or toppings, honey.
Chili oil.
Mm. Honey That'd chili oil. Yeah. I heard they might do something like that around places over here.
Yeah.
And so we started really just experimenting. I would go to Banchan and be like, oh, twice fried Korean chicken. I can do that.
Yeah.
Like, let me figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of expanded. And so Chef for Hire is going to be a cannabis-infused product line of cooking oils, condiments, and then sauces and other things like that. And Dinner is Dope was our platform for us to introduce it to our friends. Mm-hmm. It's at the end of the day, you know, we're like, well, how do you introduce this stuff? Tupperware parties.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tupperware parties, you get your cul-de-sac together. My cul-de-sac just happens to be the five boroughs in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, a great network. We show them and showcase our products, but Tupperware party doesn't sound too sexy, right?
Yeah.
So end of Prohibition in New York, there was over 2,200 alcohol speakeasies.
Yeah.
Speakeasy is a little bit more sexy. It's word of mouth, right?
Yeah.
Only those in the know are going to get to know.
People think they're cool.
Yeah. So, Dinner is Dope is a cannabis infused dinner speakeasy.
Now, I should probably say this off the air, but I'm going to say it on the air.
Do it.
Now you should actually, I'm not even kidding you. Maybe you've already done this, but you should fucking really research pyramid schemes. Because you know, honestly, because
where is this coming from? I'm
going to tell you because you know the whole thing with Mary Kay and Tupperware and all those things are. It's okay. So you're in a room and you're selling Tito, Alexis, and Phil, and you're like, okay, you're going to have a party, and then you're going to sell these products, and every time you sell a product, you're going to make a dollar. I'm going to make a dollar, and then I host the party, and then I sell something to her and him, and then Alexis, do you want some honey? The I'm good set. Honey?
Yeah. give me a moment.
So no, you should, dude, honey. You should totally start a weed edible pyramid scheme. It's so good. Because everybody that sells under you, you make a dollar from their sales.
No, that's so dishonest.
It's not dishonest.
It's not really dishonest.
The pyramid schemes rock.
I mean, I think you're putting a negative connotation by using the term pyramid.
No, it is what it is.
You're just making it sound dirty again.
Yo, ain't no
shame. It's back to potties again.
Yo, Mike. There ain't no shame in the hustle.
It's always a hustle. We just, you know, you call it different things, right?
Hey, could you do me a favor? Could you hand Alexis the honey? And yeah, and then will you knock on the window? I know this guy. harder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, bang.
How? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
No, wait. I think he gets it.
He's clawing at the window. T.R. Dillon. Oh, there he goes. Look. Oh, he's vaping. That's really funny.
So what happened?
Are the cameras on? Can people see this? No.
Yeah, we have to do a better job narrating. They can't really see. We don't usually interact with the window sitters.
So your company is specifically going to focus on oils and stuff, yeah?
Yeah, so we want to inspire and empower the home chef. That's what happened to me. And yeah. So I kind of want to pass that on, right?
Yeah.
Because, again, I'll sit there. Like, there was a group of people from Massachusetts there. They're growers.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about doing a Super Bowl event. And they were like, I was like, yo, I'll make some buffalo wings, and we'll do all Super Bowl foods. And I was like, you can do buffalo? I was like, dude, it's hot sauce and butter.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's this weird, like, because cannabis isn't looked at as an herb, which it should be, it's you don't think of it so easily in infusing it into any recipe.
Yeah.
But that's all we make is oils, right?
Yeah.
So it's an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. I just think there's something because it's not normal, quote unquote. It's not legal, and people haven't been doing this for years, but people have been doing this for years. Yeah. I've learned from other people. And I think once you get past that, then you're like, oh, wow, you can really infuse anything.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in the whole dosing side of it.
Yep.
Because, you put a plate of chicken wings in front of me, and I will eat 20 of them.
I've seen there.
And maybe. But, you know, like, maybe my serving was only supposed to be 4.
Yeah.
You know, it's dangerous. Like, for my relationship with food, it's just like when something's good and you want to eat more and indulge, but then having this also like limiting yourself or knowing like what you're bringing in.
100%. So you know how you have certain friends where they have a certain diet, they only eat certain things, or you have other friends that you go out with when you want to party and go eat a crazy amount of food, and I'm gonna drink and I'm gonna do all
they
this
eat
other
everything.
Stuff, right? Yeah. They eat everything. You adjust, right? And so you basically, if I want to low dose you, but you want to eat more food, I just put less in, and then so it allows you to eat more food. If we are at our dinners, I'll show you a menu in a second. At our dinners, it's like a prefix menu.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody there is having the same experience, so we ensure everybody gets the same amount,
mm-hmm.
right? And you get the same portion amounts, the same THC amounts, the same kind of everything. So it's like I said, again, it's a leveled experience. It can adjust at any moment if you know what you're working with. Now, if somebody's just saying, hey, I'm taking some flowers and I'm throwing it in oil and let's see what happens, no.
Mm.
Right? Everything that we use is tested. I know how many milligrams are in each gram.
Do you know that from the onset of making, like, let's say you're making, like, an oil or honey, do you, like, you know the process for, like, this is will result in like a 10 milligram potency?
Well,
or does it have to be tested in order to know that?
If to get exact, yes, you need to be tested. But it's definitely a range. And it's I know what the original product that I'm working with is tested at,
mm-hmm.
right? So if that shatter is 82%, there's 820 milligrams in that. If that flower is testing at 23 milligrams, that each gram has 230 milligrams in it. Now, when you infuse, there's obviously going to be ranges and things that may change. Then also it's the vehicle, the food, and what you're infusing it in, what type of food you're cooking. If it takes longer to process through your body, it's going to stay in your system a lot longer. If it's a lot fattier, it might hit you a lot harder.
Huh.
Right? So the kinds of foods and even how you plan your menus matter. Right? And the difference. So, I mean, like last night I used Granddaddy Perf flowers for the cocktail. There was sesame oil in the noodles. There was honey in the dressing for the salad. There was sesame oil and honey in the wings. There was butter in the dessert, right? So there's a different kind of thing, and it kind of changes throughout. But we find that how you do it, when you do it, the amount of time it takes to do the actual dinner, it's a process.
And I never even considered the different, like, what it's, you know, I don't know if it's, like, bound to, but, like, what it is extracted in mm-hmm. is going to deliver it different.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever you're eating is going to come. It's like, you know, how salt compounds over the course of like a tasting menu, like the actual sensation of salt in your body, like, increases over tasting.
So let's say that me, Tito, and Alexis were having a dinner, and then, like, let's say Alexis has never eaten weed before. I'm a moderate person, and we have Snoop Dogg over here. So technically, you would, if the three of us were together, you could technically do three different, the same food, but three different doses for the three of us? Do you course people out like that, or no?
Yes, I can, but no, not at our dinners.
Yeah, okay, cool. Everybody gets the same thing.
Everybody gets the same thing.
Yeah.
And our perspective on that is that you can't overdose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the sense that I'm going to die.
Yes.
Like, and I can't, right?
Yeah.
Most people, when they get to that feeling, it feels like you got pushed off of a cliff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It feels like I can't grasp reality.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. I'm the only, this is only happening to me.
Yeah.
Like, every, you know what I mean? People freak out.
The fear.
Yeah. Part of our process, again, is that everybody, we level the playing field.
Yeah.
If you see somebody else and they're having fun, it can help level you out.
Yeah.
I've talked myself off the cliff 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I know you can do it, and it's fine. We luckily have not had anybody that has any issues.
Yeah.
We've had people that have never smoked before to people that sit there and rip, you know, fucking glob dabs and 2 grams at a time, like, you know, nothing. Right? I mean, we've had tons of TV personalities. People have a blast. It's really, and again, we've been doing this straight, literally every month for 18 months now.
Yeah, nice.
Right, and again, it's a learning curve. We're constantly adjusting. And we're still learning how to do things a little bit differently and different techniques. We watch how people are affected. We speak to everybody at the dinners. Like, I'm starting now to be able to, you know, gain more chefs that can cook with us, so I'm allowed to walk and, you know, and actually sit with the guests, walk them through the experience, answer any questions that they have. Because it not only helps us make sure they have a good time, it helps us learn how to do things better, you know, in the future. And that's what we constantly want to do.
Feel free not to answer this, but can you tell us how much it costs?
What's that?
The dinners?
Sorry, like how much go?
Yeah, how much is it?
As a guest?
Yeah.
It varies anywhere from $150 to $250 a person.
Cool, yeah. But also, you probably, you know, besides the weed element, you're probably using dope ingredients for all the food, too, I'm imagining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, for here, it's Union Square, Green Market. It's, you know, everything's locally sourced.
Nice.
And, you know, no hormones,
awesome.
Grass-fed proteins. And
You know what it reminds me of? I don't know what the legal stance now is in Holland, but I remember, I mean, I went to Holland in 92, 94, 96, and you used to be able to get space cake and weed cookies and all that stuff in the head shops. And then they made it illegal for tourists to go to the head shops, which, you know, there's still ways around it. But one of the reason was, year after year, there was, like, you know, fucking stupid college frat guys or whoever, stupid kids, that would eat a piece of space cake, get the munchies, and then eat a space cookie and a space cake, and then be so high that they would get injured. So, you know, like, you know, people acting like fools. But, you know, I just remembered that.
Yeah, I mean, with anything, I guess.
Yeah.
Gotta be reasonable about it. But maybe not
chicken wing queen.
That's up to you. My favorite though is just weed butter and mashed potatoes, and I know it is like the not
you can
very
take,
fancy
you can take the girl out of Florida, but
I love it. I like weed and savory.
Yeah,
is especially like good.
Awesome.
Yeah,
weed and sweet. Like,
I think the best thing that I've ever had with weed in it is mole. Because, you know, like, okay, let's say you eat a weed brownie. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this tastes like a really good brownie, and I can taste the weed in it. It's very rare. Not rare, but I'll say, as far as what I've tasted, and I've tasted a lot, it's rare where the actual flavor of the weed enhances and goes naturally, harmoniously. Is that a word? Yes, harmoniously.
Yeah, that's totally
harmoniously right. With the flavor of the food.
Sure. Yeah.
But mole is this proper, because, you know, the real mole has all these things,
it's,
you know,
super complicated.
Pumpkin seeds and, I think, oregano and chocolate. And the weed just makes it better, like, taste wise. It's amazing.
It's, I'm not one for the taste of cannabis cooked.
Yeah.
It's like the smell of it. In its raw state,
yeah,
compared to decarbing it, and that brings out this weird nutty, like aromatic, and it's not my favorite. Yeah. But that's to each their own. There's a lot of pairings, right, where they're pairing certain cannabis strains and smoking after each course and doing things like that. And to me, I'm like, smoking kills your palate so much.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm like, how are you really tasting that afterwards?
Yeah.
Like, that's an important point.
In theory, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's just like numbing everything.
Yeah. It's like, right after I smoke, if I eat, I'm eating because I'm high as shit. not because the shit tastes good. Yeah. Like, I think it tastes good because I'd probably been there when I wasn't high, and I know this spot, and it's one of my spots or something like that.
You're eating too fast to actually process the taste.
Process the taste of it. Like, I'm not even. So again, that's one also the reasons I was like, it should be infused in the food.
Yeah.
And then it lasts with you longer. And then, like we were talking about outside, I keep forgetting the term. We forgot the term. We should Google it. But how your liver processes cannabis.
Yeah, you know, it's a different – it's actually – there's no if you eat like a 50 milligram edible, there's no amount of weed that you can smoke to get that high.
It's something 11.
Yeah,
it's tetra. It's a, something. Hold on.
It's but you're, because when you eat it, it's processed through your liver, not your lungs, so it actually processes it more efficiently.
Huh.
So to have 50 milligrams of THC in your liver is like almost impossible to do through smoking. You could sit there and smoke for 5 hours and you'll never get that high. Yeah, supposedly. Have you ever heard of a star of death?
A star of death.
Yeah, it's like.
Doesn't sound fun.
It's a thing in California. It's a gummy candy. I hear about it from like Joe Rogan and Andrew Dice Clay has eaten them a couple times. Doug Stanhope, all these people, like, you know, big weed supporter comedian guys, but they're little gummy stars that have 500 milligrams in them.
Just the leg.
Yeah. 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 Andrew
just
Dice Clay.
Just a single point.
Just the leg.
Yeah. What does just the leg mean?
No, he does this bit, Joe Rogan, where, like, he talks about how he can't believe how strong these gummies are.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't fucking eat the whole thing. Just the leg. Just the leg.
Yeah, which one is it called?
It's called the Star of Death.
That one's the Star of Death? How does a star have a leg?
No, okay, you know how, you know, instead of eating the whole chicken, you just want to eat a part of it? Oh, yeah. So Joe Rogan is saying, don't eat the whole chicken. Yeah, just the leg. Yeah.
Don't eat the whole gummy bear, just the leg.
Just the tip.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Yeah, but 500 milligrams, just one.
But see, so a lot of that stuff that you get is in the California market, right? And that's because the California market was medicinal, it's really unregulated, it's Wild West. Yeah. And it's the oldest market. So there's tons of people that are numb to the effects of THC or are that sick and living with that much pain that they need that much.
Yeah.
Then there's other people that just regulation want to get that crazy. I don't care how eaten that shit. Like, I don't care
how high your tolerance is. If you eat 500 milligrams, it's gonna fuck you up.
It's gonna fuck you up. Yeah, you feel it.
Did you have you heard of weed lubricant?
Yes. I'm actually texting with somebody right now.
I've used it. It works.
It works?
Yeah, I swear to
God. Oh, yeah, you were telling me.
Foria,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That one or?
What's that?
Is it Foria or a different one?
I don't remember.
It's a brown spray bottle?
No. I got one that was like the little Burt's Bees or Carmex, those little jars.
Yeah.
Like a little clear jar. And it was like almost like a jelly, you know? But the neat part about it is you can't just put it on. You actually have to like have friction for it to activate and go into your blood.
So then
it makes let's say you use a lot, the man or woman recipient of the sexual act gets more of the effect than the person giving.
Does that matter? David is giggling.
The bottom person.
It's not the subject matter. It's just his way of trying to phrase it.
It's awkward.
The holy person. Whoever's receiving gets more of the effects.
I think you hit that one. I think you hit that one out of the park.
Thank you so much.
So is it? Do you know what the base is? Is it a vegetable glycerin base? Is it warming when activated?
Yes, it is.
So I think it's vegetable glycerin. Yes, probably vegetable glycerin.
Yeah.
I read it. It was like a Broadly article about a girl who like smokes weed every day. Ain't no thing. And like, you know, tried the loop out and was like, oh, I didn't really notice anything. And then it said edible on the bottle. And so she's like, I'm just going to eat the bottle. And ended up eating 2,000 milligrams. Like, she read it after the fact and was like in bed all week, and her boyfriend had to take care of her.
Wow.
That's a serious, serious dose.
I got it. It's 11 hydroxy delta 9 THC.
Oh.
Easy, real easy to remember.
Yeah, man. I should get that tattooed.
What's the acronym?
What is that?
So, when it's taken, the high lipid solubility of THC, it metabolites, so it's selectively taken up and stored in fatty tissues to be released slowly. So, that's why the more
fatty.
So, it's
fatty, how the liver is. Metabolizing the THC when you eat it is
exactly
edible.
Yeah. Right, okay. And so just how
it's when it hits you 2 hours later.
Well,
I don't know. I feel warm from that honey.
Really?
Nice. I mean, but it's different. See, so the honey. We have two. We have a CB1 receptor and a CB2 receptor, right? Yeah. So we have a whole endocannabinoid system. Yeah. You guys familiar with that?
No.
Okay, so was it Dr. Raphael Mashulam in Israel is like the founder of all the scientific goodness that we know about THC, CBD, everything else. And in his research, he found this endocannabinoid system to where we have actual receptors.
For cannabis specifically, right?
Yeah. And cannabis has over 400 plus, I think, constituents only found in that plant. So we still don't know the benefits that we can unlock from that on a medicinal wellness kind of level because, obviously, the FDA won't let us test it. Right. Like, he's the fucking man. That dude, like, knows everything. But the CB1 receptor is brain, and then CB2 is your digestive system. But the CB1 goes through your saliva glands. And so that's why a lot of times that, when you hit it really fast on your tongue or you suck on, like, a hard candy or something like that.
Homeopathic.
You get it.
You feel it a little bit faster.
Let's maybe take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then when we come back, Alexis and Tito are going to try out this sex lubricant on air for us. Yay!
We're going live.
Yeah, going live.
Chefs and restaurants are proud of the food they put on the table, and serving produce that comes from local, environmentally responsible farms is a way to leave an even better taste in everyone's mouth. So when shopping for your ingredients, look for the New York State Grown and Certified seal. It lets you know which food is grown right here in New York State, certifying the food that comes from local farms that meet a higher standard. You'll not only be serving local food, you'll be supporting local farmers. Learn more about the New York State Grown and Certified program at certified.ny.gov.
Hey, welcome back to the main course. David, what is that music? I'm digging whatever you're playing.
Just something on the iPod. I have no idea.
Wow.
That was nice. What are you smelling, Phil?
This is some toasted sesame oil on weed.
We're never going to shake that joke today, are we?
No, it's so good. You know what that's from, right?
Stewart.
Yeah, John Stewart, yeah. And
he's going over all the movies. Have you ever seen 101 Dalmatians? Yeah.
Have you ever looked at the moon through a telescope? On weed.
That really smells like sesame oil. I don't smell any of the.
I got a little tiny whiff of it.
And I don't know if that's like the toasted nature of the sesame.
Yeah.
See, this smells. Every activity that much better.
Oh. Observe. You're Scarface, right?
Yeah.
I love Al Pacino, man. Did you ever see Scent of a Woman?
Yup.
On weed.
was this John Stewart's successful acting role?
No, Death of Smoochie, which is one of the most underrated comedies of all time.
Okay.
Anybody see Death of Smoochie?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's the best.
I think once.
I guess
it's so good.
So he has two acting credits. He's a terrible actor. The man should not be.
Oh, he was okay in that.
He was in Big Daddy.
He was a big daddy. He was the roommate that moved out.
He was the actual daddy.
I have a bartender. I have a bar back that used to work for me, and he always used to quote Death to Smoochie People. One of his favorite was if he was ever late, he's like, sorry if I smell like piss. I fell asleep in the bus station. You know how it is. Yeah, that's the heroin addict assassin from the movie. That's always, that always made me laugh. You know how it is.
What else did we just smell? Was that butter?
Yeah, that was a butter. Right. Yeah. So the butter, I mean, again, so the different vehicles that you use to infuse your meals taste, right?
Yeah.
There's a non-roasted toasted sesame oil you can use where you might taste it a little bit more. Right?
Can I live vicariously through you? Because
absolutely.
Because I don't want to be presumptuous here that you'd ever want to use one of my recipes. But I keep on going back to Have you spent much time in the islands like Caribbean at all?
I actually got married in Jamaica.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah. So in Jamaica and Puerto Rico, I think Puerto Rico, but definitely Dominican Republic and Bahamas, they have this carrot soup that they do. And it's just a basic carrot puree, uh-huh. Maybe a little bit of onion and a little bit of ginger. But then they always put like either nutmeg or cinnamon grated mm-hmm. on top.
Yep.
And so I that's a soup that I'm obsessed with. So I own a Japanese restaurant. So I do it actually with shiso oil, which mm-hmm. Shiso is Japanese mint. And so shiso has a little bit of the cinnamon element. So I want to do like a Japanese version of that soup. But I keep on thinking like it would be so good if you did shiso and then just raw. Flour, so not even to get the effects of it, mm-hmm. but just the flavor of that—the shiso and the wheat together—is like a finishing oil on top of the soup. I think that would be neat. Mm. So, my gift to you if you ever want to try it.
I love that carrot ginger soup. Yeah. It's so good.
It's not even carrot ginger, really.
It's just carrot.
There's a tiny bit of ginger, but it's like you know how you get like actual carrot ginger.
I guess it's the shiso dressing. That yeah. really brings like that. Yeah. That's such a unique.
And it's also beautiful too. It's like bright orange and then this dark green swirls on it. Yeah. So if you ever want to try that out, I can help you with that.
Let's go. I'm
let's
ready.
Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, that's all I do, man. I sit home and get high and get higher. And then eat it. You know?
And think about ways and of think about ways. People high.
Exactly. You know?
You were talking about working with Shatter, and I don't know what everyone who's listening, you know, knows, but like, you know, dab, whack, Shatter. It's like, I don't know the process of making Shatter. But it seems like it'd be easier to, like, titrate. Like, maybe dosing out would
it's
be...
It's much easier. You already. Lose a lot less uh-huh. material. It's actually...
A little dab.
But it's actually... wait. He missed it. You lose a lot of material. Also, the other thing is, when you use actual flour, a lot of people don't clean it out first. So you'd have to, like, boil it to take the chlorophyll, to take all of the things that were used to grow it and all that kind of stuff out. The extraction process naturally does that.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So that shatter and or those extracts, whatever I may use, CO2 oil, ethanol extractions, whatever the extraction may be, they're all lab tested, and you can see in the results kind of what's in there. So the pesticides, all the other stuff is taken out of that.
And the water, most importantly.
And the water. And so, you know, again, like we were saying before with the percentages, you know, great bud is like 25%. Great shatter is like 90, 85, 82. You know, or you get stuff like the clear that could be 90 and above percent, which is already activated. All the terpenes are taken out. Right, it's basically in a distillate state, mm-hmm. and you can actually just put that right into stuff. Mm. Even though I still don't, you know, I don't subscribe to that method as much.
I'm realizing though, I've never had a wheat butter that wasn't like green in color, and the stuff that you were passing around had just like you know a like a natural yellow.
But a lot of times that green doesn't have to necessarily be there.
Well, so when you said like boil it, get chlorophyll out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know, I don't have an experience with like high class edibles.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the weed butter you make is not the same.
No, I'm saying it is.
Alexa's
very
all like,
different.
All like put weed in coffee grinder, heat up butter, dump weed in butter, put in refrigerator. which is fine.
I mean, I try a little bit harder than that.
Nah, she's done more. She's decarbed.
You know, I will say, no, I never have.
Damn.
I'm not lying. I can't lie on air.
Help me here.
I know someone, this girl out in San Francisco who's got this website, Sue Weed.
We haven't personally met. We have another mutual friend that I actually, so we haven't met. Soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
That seems like an awesome application. Well,
so
cooking sous vide, like, you know, using immersion circulators.
100%. It's one of the craziest things. And, you know, so for us, our basis is comfort food. Right?
Like, makes sense.
That's really what it is. It's approachable, but that doesn't mean your techniques can't, you know, and sous vide, I think so many people, because it's so Frenchy sounding, that people are like scared of it. And, you know, we're Americans, we don't like the French anyway, but they don't want to experiment with it. And it's one of the illest things to do when you're cooking with cannabis. It's like, because you can monitor the temperature
to a tenth of a degree.
You can regulate that so perfectly. So, you know, everybody's so worried about burning stuff off. You know, I don't think you have to worry about that, but sous vide actually ensures it doesn't burn off.
Do you burn stuff off in with weed? Because I asked my college professor, well, he wasn't my professor, he's one of the college professors that I drank with. Mm-hmm. I never had him, he was chemistry, about it. And he said it's not heat reactive or.
It's different.
Chemistry.
It's, I guess the difference between, you know, an open flame and heat. Right.
Yeah. Not like physically changing. You're not like not yeah. to the well, point of charring, but
yeah. But no. All right. Again, I think people put these blocks in front of logic when it comes to cannabis and cooking. They're like, you can't cook over 325 or 50 degrees, bro. I'm like, well, how the fuck are you baking those brownies, dumbass?
I think I know what he was talking about. It's okay. So let's say you have a bottle of olive oil. So THC is fat soluble. Mm-hmm. So the THC is like a giant molecule, and then the oil breaks down into smaller molecules. You could take a piece of weed and put it in room temperature olive oil, but then breaking that down would take a week. But if you heat that olive oil up, it speeds up the process of breaking down the fats. If I'm not mistaken.
But there's other parts of that too, right? Right. Agitation is a huge part of that, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, without agitation, like, the molecule sometimes won't congeal.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you still need that. And that's the thing. It's like, there's so much science now involved in these infusions. I mean, you know, I'm working with people in California. We're going to do it all sonically.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, you know what I mean? So no heat.
Wow.
Right?
I just found out about that. My friend Danielle has a, it's like a humidifier. And so she was saying that when you put essential oils in, like, you know, the steam, you know, those essential oil humidifiers.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you do heat, it breaks the molecules down in a certain way that are less beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. So this fucking thing looks like a humidifier. It has steam coming out of it, but it uses sonic waves. So when you inhale the oil that's in the air, it's actually the pure state. It's not been broken down by heat. So it's using sonic waves.
Yeah.
And it's just this little fucking thing.
Yeah. No, so.
Science.
No, is that what they. Science. Yeah. Is that what they have at your yoga studio?
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Peppering the air. Yeah, is it your Bushwick air. Yoga?
Collaborate with Muji.
Huh?
Collaborate with Muji.
Yeah. I mean, I got that shit at the crib.
Yeah.
Fuck. Should.
Yeah.
But to go back to that, that shit is the best. You know, you're not supposed to put. You know, butters with animal proteins in there a lot of times because it'll break it down. But if you don't do it for too long, like if it's under 2 hours, it's usually fine. And a 2-hour infusion with some infused butter into an animal protein or some carrots or some nice, you know, root vegetables, right? And then you just hit them on the, you know, the grill to put some char marks on them, squeeze some honey over them, and you got an incredible
crudité.
Yeah. Like, killer. So that sous vide thing, especially when we're cooking for large groups, like,
oh yeah,
you know, I did you know, we do 2 seatings of 20 people usually, or we do 1 seating of 40 people. So we did a barbecue and I did 12 racks of ribs, and without the sous vide machine and being able to do that and throw them in a ice bath and then refrigerate them overnight and then be able to rip them open and just toss them on the grill to char them. Actually, no, I didn't even do that. I smoked them again for another 4 hours after that.
I mean, like, you know? For anyone that hasn't cooked with an immersion circulator, like, I can't. Yeah. Been on it for, like, 2 or 3 years, and it's just, like, I can't get over how amazing it is, and like just really changes the kitchen. It's hugely like just influencing like home kitchens.
Yeah, I mean, because the irony is that it's people think because of the name it's a difficult thing to use, but it actually makes kitchen life so much easier. You know, many people burn steaks constantly and don't understand how to cook a steak or don't learn their temperature of their stove or understand how that stove reacts with your pot.
It's hard though. Every stove is different.
No, but I'm saying, but even a home cook, it's like absolutely. I see people constantly do the same thing. Like, I'm like, all right, but if you know that burns at 4 minutes, do 3 minutes, bro. Remember what temperature you put it on. See those little notches, those lines? You know, take a picture. Make a folder. Put this date, you know. But, again, I guess people aren't thinking of that. But the sous vide makes it so easy.
Hawaii Mike, is there some place we can find you? Or if people want to follow you?
On the streets of New York.
Oh, yeah, all over. Now, Instagram is probably best, at Chef for Hire. That's H-I-G-H-E-R. You can also sign up for what we do and let us know what city you're in. And we're traveling, and the more people in more cities will be there. So that's dinnerisdope.com.
Awesome. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. So good to see you, man.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Smoke time.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.